let me call your attention to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus is about to leave on his ascension to heaven after his resurrection. And they have a kingdom question. Verse 6, is it at this time you will be restoring the kingdom to Israel? They were looking for the kingdom. They were anticipating the kingdom, and they wanted to know, is it time? Now, the kingdom that they are asking about was the prophesied kingdom of the Old Testament, when God proclaimed that he would set up his kingdom, with Israel being his capital nation, Jerusalem being the capital city, with the rule of Messiah. And now that Jesus has died and risen from the dead, they want to know, is it now time for that kingdom? However, because Israel rejected the Messiah, it is not now time. And so we introduce the church age. What Jesus goes on to say is, while the timing of that Israeli kingdom is not here, the power of it is here, which is where we get into the well-known verse in verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So while you do not have the physical kingdom presence, you can have the spiritual kingdom power. One of the points I make in the Kingdom Discipleship book is this. The way you know that the kingdom is operating in your life and in your midst is by the authority by which you operate. Kingdom always comes when it is operating properly with authority and power. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says that the kingdom of God comes with power. So powerlessness indicates a lack of kingdom power operating in our midst. So that is why we have a dilemma today, because we have programs without power. And the only way you know power is operating is things are changing. Bowlers are known for their impact. If you throw a ball and the pins are still standing, you failed no matter how good you look and how expensive your bowling ball is. Because a bowler is measured by their impact. So it is, the kingdom would be measured by its impact. In the Old Testament, God the Father is the superstar. You see types of Christ. You see mentions of the Spirit, but they are not the focus in the Old Testament. In the Gospels, Jesus is the superstar. The Gospels are all about the life and work of Jesus Christ. So the second member of the Trinity is the superstar in the Gospels. But beginning in Acts and through the rest of the epistles of the church age, the Holy Spirit is the superstar. This is the age of the Spirit. So what did the Father do? The Father sent his Son. What did the Son say? I'm going to give you another comforter. I'm going to send the Spirit. The Son does the Father's will. The Spirit does the Son's will. That's why the Spirit says that he's come to glorify the Son. We're into this inter-Trinitarian relationship where one member of the Trinity is on the front page to support the will of the other members of the Trinity as far as history is concerned. Now, that little bit of theology I just gave you has staggering implications for how you define your life, how you define your family, how the family operates. All of those things fall under this Trinitarian relationship of how one member supports the other member when it comes to function and history, even though all members are equal. The Trinity is like a pretzel, you know, with three holes. The first hole is not the second hole. The second hole is not the third hole, but they all tie together by the same dough. They're interconnected by divine nature. And so he says, you will receive power, kingdom power, because that's the question. The question is the kingdom. when the Holy Spirit is activated or operating in your midst, in your life. And so I don't want you going out and operating a program without the power. So the spiritual must always be tied to the programmatic in terms of seeing God move. Now, he does that uniquely with each of us and in each of our ministries. But the way to get to see the Spirit's movement is through the process of discipleship. Developing visible, verbal followers of Jesus Christ. That growth process to develop people so that they're consistently operating under divine authority. When it comes to the church, our paradigm is the first church. The first church is described as being birthed in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, there are four experiences that are to be the fundamental experiences or life realities of a church that has been empowered by the Holy Spirit. At Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, we have organized our church around these four experiences. Let me name them and then give a summary description of each one. There is worship, fellowship, education, and outreach. Worship, fellowship, education, and outreach. We'll show you that in a second. Those are the four experiences of discipleship. When people are experiencing those four things, not one of them, but all four of them in sync with one another, they're in the process of discipleship. So however your church is organized, these things need to be experienced. We just happen in our context to organize them. So therefore, we have at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, we have a ministry of worship, and everything, every department that has to do with worship comes under that. We have a ministry of fellowship, and everything that has to do with connectivity, small groups and all that comes under that. Then we have a ministry of education, so everything that has to do with biblical knowledge comes under that. And then we have outreach, so everything that has to do with evangelism, social services, and all that comes under that. And then to support that, we have an administration area as well. So that's how we've organized it. But the key point are the experiences. So when the Holy Spirit began to move, they are filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Verse 42 says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So you see a number of things right there. 3,000 in verse 41 have been baptized. That's called church growth, but not because there's a church growth conference. It's because the Spirit of God was so dynamic that people were being overwhelmed with the gospel. And so he says that a number of things were happening. So there are, well, let me just read the section, then I'll go over the fourth thing. Everyone kept having a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. So the supernatural was occurring. All those who believed were together and had all things in common. I'll talk about that in a moment. And they began selling their property and possessions and sharing with them anyone who might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, that is, was the worship, breaking of bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having faith with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. So they had created an atmosphere. Let me use that word. An atmosphere, an environment that was conducive to the Holy Spirit's movement in their midst, for the purpose of the supernatural entering the natural through his disciples, through his apostles, and the growth that was happening with the people. It was atmospheric. So the question you and I have to ask is, what is my ministry's atmosphere? Not merely, what is my ministry's program? Because program without the right environment. We had a little problem in this building. This building is the most expensive building on our campus. Because this building cost us $27 million. Yeah, I feel it. That like you just said, right. Well, the good news is, as of this year, all of our campus will be paid for. So that's the good news. Not counting, of course, the new construction. That's new, but everything that's here will be paid for. So we're excited about that. But with all that money that we had deposited, there was a stench that was all in the atrium area out there, and it come into this room, and we were trying to figure out, because expensive as the building is, nobody wanted to come in it. Not because we hadn't put out the money and organized the program, but the atmosphere wasn't right. So we called in all these experts, consultants, to fix our atmosphere. We called in consultants. You know, we sprayed and all of that. And for a while, things got better. But then it just reverted back to a bad atmosphere. Well, one of our staff happened to be in one of the restrooms, and he noticed something. He noticed that the fan was turning the wrong way. So instead of it lifting odors out, it was pushing odors down. And $27 million worth of property was being contaminated by the turn of a fan. Now, we didn't spend all this money on consultants when all he did was go up and reverse the direction of the fan, and then the property became useful. The Holy Spirit can save you money and help you manage your investments when the atmosphere is electric with his presence. What is worship? Worship is the recognition of God for who he is, what he has done, and what we are trusting him to do. Worship is the recognition of God for who he is, what he has done, and what we are trusting him to do. So they gathered together in the temple. That is, they gathered for worship. That was the central gathering place, because they didn't have churches yet like we have today. And so that they gave God the honor due his name. Worship is the recognition of God as God. We're living in the day of the dumbing down of God and the marginalization of God. My wife asked me some time ago to go to Walmart to pick up some things for her on a Saturday morning when she had other things scheduled. And you have to understand, I hate anything with Mart in its name. If Mart is in its name, I am not interested. But she had something else to do. I went and, you know, got my stuff together. And I wanted to be the first one in, the first one out. But when I arrived, the rest of Dallas had beat me there. The parking lot was full. I didn't understand why. I went in, got my stuff, stood in this long line. And then it dawned on me, I discovered what happened. They were having a store-wide sale. So people are showing up early to get their goods at reduced prices. It dawned on me, that's our problem. Everybody wants God. They just want him on sale. You see, they want God on the cheap. And as long as they can get God cheaply, they'll shop there. But the moment he comes at full price, they'll shop elsewhere. Unfortunately, churches have become discount services by dumbing down and reducing who God is and what God expects for the sake of notoriety, popularity, and a number of other things that have dumbed down God. The dumbing down of God is idolatry. Idolatry is any noun, person, place, thing, or thought. Idolatry is any noun, person, place, thing, or thought that becomes your new source. Because idols in the Bible weren't just things, they were things you looked to do something for you. So the worship of God has to do with the positioning of him as your source. And so that's worship. Then there was fellowship. We saw the word, the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. Oh, let me say one other word about worship. Worship was always associated with the breaking of bread. We call that communion. At Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, we offer communion every week. And that's because of what we teach it means and does. Eating the bread, drinking the cup. How did we get into sin? We got into sin by eating. We got into sin by eating. Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. So taking a bite brought death. The purpose of communion is to take a bite to bring life. So communion, we teach up, communion is the most important part of the worship. The preach, the singing, the preaching, all that comes secondary to that. And so we offer it every week. Because that's how it's described. In fact, in Acts chapter 20, it says that they met for the breaking of bread. That was why they came together. So there's a whole theology of that, but that we talk about in our book on the cross. But so that fellowship is not cake and cookies in the fellowship hall. Fellowship is the mutual sharing of the life of Christ between believers. Fellowship are multiple logs in a fireplace keeping a fire going. One log in a fireplace will not keep a fire going. The logs have to be rubbing up against each other. That means there's both contact and accountability. If there is no contact and no accountability, there is no fellowship. Fellowship is believer rubbing up against believer to keep the Holy Spirit fire hot. So having in your ministry a mechanism of people to be sharpening each other through the fiery process, through connectivity and accountability, is absolutely critical. And so whether it's small groups, Sunday school classes, but where there is connectivity and accountability. Then I said the third thing was education of the apostles' doctrine, the knowledge of God's word. The Bible is not a book about God. It is the voice of God in print. Once it's been reduced to the book about God, it's an informational document. Or once you only want to feel good because of it, it's an inspirational document. But it's more than information, and it's more than inspiration in terms of just feeling good. It's inspired. But it is the voice of God in print, and therefore it carries authority. So God's word is designed to have final say-so over every subject matter. The problem is we convolute it and mix it. We mix it and therefore dumb down its authority. I don't like apples. Apples, I'm kind of more orange and bananas. I don't like apples. Now, I know an apple a day keeps the doctor away, but I just don't like apples, except at the Texas State Fair. I love them apples because those are candy apples. Texas State Fair. They dip the apple in liquid sugar. But my doctor tells me that once they do that, that apple is of absolutely no nutritional value to you because you have convoluted it with sugar. What we often do is take the word of God and dip it in human wisdom and wonder why it's not taking effect, because its authority has been dumbed down and reduced. Finally, there was outreach. They were meeting needs of each other. People were drawn to the gospel because they saw the gospel at work in their midst, in word and deed. They were visual. They weren't just coming into the church. They were affecting the environment, which was drawing people to the gospel. I have, I'll share this last comment. Our church has in our bookstore cards, little cards. And these were called acts of kindness cards. So we've told all of our members, here's what we want you to do. We want you, as you move about your day, to ask God to lead you to somebody who needs an act of kindness. A definition of that, but an act of kindness, whether it's a homeless person helping an old lady cross the street, a coworker who's struggling with something that you listen to, but you are reaching out because there is an obvious need. you do whatever is within your capacity once led to that need to meet it. When you meet it, you offer to pray with the person, because most people do not refuse prayer. So you offer to pray for the person. When you pray for the person, if there is an opportunity, then share the gospel with them. That's not always possible, but if there is, then you become a witness. Now, thousands of cards have been taken and are being handed out. And I had this experience the other day. There was a lady in a wheelchair trying to open up a car door. She tried to open up the car door, but she was in a wheelchair, so she was struggling. So a member came over and said, "Oh, no, you don't have to do that. Let me do that." And then she had it was a grocery store, so she had some bags. He took the bags in and, you know, did all of that. And the lady said, before he had the opportunity to give her a card, "Oh, shucks, you must go to Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship," which told me she had run into other people. So that, and when you mix it with prayer, because it's not just something good, any good person can do that. We're talking about tying it to the Lord. Then the good news becomes a visual and not merely a verbal. And so their practice was being seen, and it became winsome to them. So there's a whole lot to that. You're going to be probably hit by a fire truck based on the areas you go into today. Not because we believe we have it all together. We're still growing and learning and everything. We try to take in as much as we can, but underneath this philosophy umbrella. And so we hope that we are great servants to you today, and that all that takes place today will abound to God's glory and your good. And thank you for allowing us to serve you.